Good morning, church family. It is great to see you here and to hear you guys here this morning. It's a wonderful chance we have to be joined together today as a family, as we worship together. Hopefully on your way in, you were able to grab one of our bulletins. As always, this has a lot of great information inside there that can get you connected to things that are going on here at Graham Street. And as always, there are the QR codes in there that will take you to either our main church website, to our youth website, to get you a little more connected with different things that are going on, for more information even than just what's here in the bulletin. Just a couple of quick reminders for things today. We do have children's church that will take place during the sermon this morning. We will dismiss for that just after the children's offering while we have a song playing for the kiddos this morning. Also, I always skip too far ahead. The nursery is also available for those that are under 3 years old. So if you need to make use of that, the nursery is just out the foyer, first door on the right as you're going down the hallway. When we dismiss for children's church, they will head upstairs to the loft. So that's for ages 3, 4, and 5. So make use of those programs and offerings that we have during our service today. Just a reminder, in the bulletin, under the children's ministry part, we still need volunteers for children's church. So if that's something that you're willing to do, you can scan that QR code. It'll take you to a sign-up page there that you can get. You can volunteer your time and efforts for that if you could. I want to remind everybody that this is an effort that we have that's going on. We've been able to be a part of this for a very, very long time. Just to be quick, to kind of remind you of what's going on, we have these Bibles, these Shona Bibles that we're trying to help offer for Zimbabwe. They're just $8.50 a piece, and what we're trying to do is, this is kind of our financial goal with it, we're trying to get to a certain point of about $20,000 so that we can have that goal matched. And so right now, we're at $13,000, so if you're willing and able to give a contribution towards that, you can always just drop that in the baskets, and on your check, just make a note that it's for the Shona Bibles. But a great way that we have to reach out and to be working for God in so many ways across this world. I want to remind our youth that today, after worship, we'll have our Graham Street Youth Group lunch over at the Lambert. So we'd love to have you there around 11:45, or just depending on when we get done with services this morning, you can head over there. This morning, as we get started, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. If you've been here the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about worship. And one of the things that David's mentioned many times is that when there was the reading of God's word, that the people would stand. So if you would, I'd ask that you stand this morning as we read, as I read God's word. And if you'll remain standing afterwards, and Bradley's going to lead our prayer as we get started this morning. Colossians chapter 3, starting verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
If y'all pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today, Jesus. We are the house of the broken, my Lord. We all come here bearing different things, Jesus. But we pray today we can get something out of this message today, my Lord. Help us dig a little deeper today to look into the what's being said today and understand that it can apply to all of our lives, no matter where we're at, good or bad. We pray that we will focus on you today in this time of worship. We know life gets busy and distracting, but we pray that we can just clear our minds today and just focus on you more than anything, God. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
Let's all sing right out this morning as we worship together. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Given, wooing us to heaven, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting up yonder, where we shall spend an endless day. There with our Savior will be forever, where no more sorrow can dismay. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Some morning yonder we'll cease to ponder o'er things this life has brought to view. All will be clearer, saved ones be dearer, in heaven where all will be made new. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, no will be. What a song of delight in that city so bright, will be wafted neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransomed will raise happy songs in his praise, when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home, when all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth songs of sadness or mirth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come. But the joy can't compare with the glory up there, when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, will be heard in that land o'er the foam. Every heart will be light and its face will be bright when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. Please bow your heads with me. God, our Father, we come before you today, grateful for the chance to fellowship as the one body you intended us to. May we be able to soften our hearts and open our minds to be able to do the things that you have willed us to do. May we be able to open our hearts to the communion we're about to partake and open our minds to the words that you have spoken, for they are the life that you have given us. And it's in your Son's holy name. Amen.
You can go ahead and have a seat, please. We'll sing this song before the Lord's Supper.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered ground makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear. Holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love. And I'll never be the same. Jesus is his name. Faithful love is a friend just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Endless power, living flame, Spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love. Same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. Will
you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now thanking you for your love for us. Your love that would send your only Son to this earth to be tempted and tried and cursed and spit upon and beaten and hung on a cruel cross and suffer the pain and agony both physically and mentally. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and we thank you for his death. But most of all, we thank you for his resurrection and the power that he has to save us from our sins. Heavenly Father, as we take of this bread which represents his body this morning, may we center our mind upon that cross. And may we not take that memory out of our mind as we leave here this morning, but we will continually remember
his death, burial, and resurrection, that we may have a home with thee forever. And it's through him we pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as I look out among your congregation that meets here at Graham Street this morning, I just want to thank you for the blessings that you give this congregation, that we could come together after COVID and come together to do things better, to love you more, and to understand your words more, that we may, when we take of your memorial service, that we may love you more. Heavenly Father, we really don't understand. We can't comprehend what Jesus Christ did for us. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us through the Holy Spirit grow and know your love for us and that Jesus loves for us. And we're about to take of this fruit of the vine, which represents that shed blood that poured out of Jesus' body and that continuously washes away our sins. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the mercy that you have for us. And we come as we come before this altar this morning, may we strike out the sins that we feel like others have done to us, that we may be just as forgiving as you are forgiving us, that we may have just as much mercy on others as you have mercy on us. Be with our enemies. Help them to come to know you and help them to come to know your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we take it through its fruit of the vine, may we remember his blood that washes away our sins. And it's through your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. There is only one God, there is only one King, only one body, that is why we can sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love.
Okay, it's time for Children's Church again, so we're going to have a song playing here in just a moment. We'll dismiss those that are ages 3, 4, and 5 to head upstairs to the loft, but we'd love for them to come down as that song's playing to make a children's offering here. There is also a bucket upstairs for a children's offering, so if you've got kiddos that are upstairs in the balcony, don't feel like you've got to rush down here. You can just head them straight back in just a moment.
Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice.
Clap your hands, all ye people, shout to God. With the voice of triumph, clap your hands, all ye people, sing for joy unto the Lord.
And we're singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, Lord of all the earth. Clap your hands, all ye people, shout to God. With the voice of triumph, clap your hands, all ye people, sing for joy unto the Lord. And we're singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, Lord of all the earth.
Let's all be standing for this next song. After this song, David will come and preach a message to us.
Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far. For a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. Let our words be sweetly spoken. Let kind thoughts be greatly stirred. Show our love to one another with abundance of kind words. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command.
Be seated, please.
Good morning, church. So, do you think that when a song leader sings a song, Angry Words, before the minister gets up, there's any significance to that? I mean, I don't know, you know. Thank you, Kyle, for leading our singing Cooper and Bradley for praying this morning. Wes, for all that you've done this morning, thank you so much. And Bob, excellent job in leading our thoughts before the communion this morning and during the communion. I appreciate so much what you were sharing and what you were praying this morning. I think it's a good atmosphere for worship, and that's what we're talking about this morning. We're still on this sixth principle of going back better than normal and the idea of worship to God. And so let me give you just a review, and then we'll pray, and we'll go into today's lesson. Remember, we're talking about worship, that there are three aspects of worship that we saw in Ezra and Nehemiah that I believe is worthy of our imitation. Joyful celebration, reverent submission, and loving edification. We've dealt with the first two, and we're about to deal with the third this morning. We talked about the idea that when we talk about Ezra and Nehemiah having joyful celebration, the key to it was what they were thankful for. And I believe that's true with our worship too. If we're going to have this joyful celebration as we gather together for worship, we need to have this thankfulness for what God has done in our lives, especially through Jesus. And last week we studied this idea of reverent submission. We talked about the idea that reverent submission is gauged by the way we react to hearing God's word. Secondly, by restoring the things that we need to be obedient to. And then thirdly, we said it's a response from the heart. It begins there by responding from the heart. So if we're going to be in reverent submission, we certainly need to be worshiping in spirit and truth, because John chapter 4 says that's the way we please God. And we do that by remembering that we are God's temple and we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is our high priest. And all the worship that we do that's pleasing to God needs to be done in that way. It needs to be done realizing our connection to Jesus and our connection through the Holy Spirit to God. So this week, we want to look at the study of edification. That when we study Ezra and Nehemiah and we see the worship that they did after they finished the temple and after they finished rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, that they were involved not only in trying to celebrate the success that they had, and not only were they involved in looking at God's word and saying, how do we reverently submit to God when we're worshiping to Him and obey what He commands us to do, but they also had a responsibility to each other, to help each other in living the way that they were supposed to live. And they used their worship as a time of edification, to build up their brothers and sisters so that they would live as they should. So, with that in mind, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Gracious God, it is so awesome for us to be in your presence. Help us to never assemble together to worship without that remembrance that you are here with us, that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who broke the bread himself and served the cup, and is himself the body, that bread that represents. And may we also remember that he himself is that blood that was shed, that the cup represents, and he is with us here. And may we remember that collectively, as we are all temples of the Holy Spirit, may we remember that collectively, as the church of Jesus Christ, we are the indwelling. Indwelt in us is, as the temple of God, the Holy Spirit. And we ask, Father, that you will help us to be the people that we're called to be, and that our worship will edify one another. It'll help us to leave here more dedicated, more committed to living the way we should live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you might want to look at the text. Now, I'm not going to read it this morning for the sake of time, but you may want to look at these passages in Ezra chapter 6 and Nehemiah chapter 8, because it tells us not only about how they celebrated the success that God gave them when they worshiped together, and not only did they read the word of God and reverently submit to God's word and to try to commit themselves to restoring the things that they needed to restore, they also spent time in worship trying to build each other up, to edify each other. And here are some of the things that you'll see if you go back and you study that. Number one, they emphasize that the prophets preached to edify the people. And they said, look at what the prophets said would happen. And the prophet said this so that when we got to this point, when it came time for us to do what we have just done, we would be built up, ready to be God's people again. Because they had gone through the captivity, and now they were coming back to Jerusalem. And the speaking of Ezra and the speaking of the Levites and so forth that were teaching the people, they said, we have come to this point to be the people that God has called us to be. And it's our responsibility, not just the priest, but it's our responsibility as a congregation, as a body of people, to edify each other, to be what God has called us to be. Secondly, you have the elders. And sometimes we forget that elders were a part of the community in the Old Testament, as well as they are in the church community of the New Testament. And the elders had a similar responsibility in the Old Testament as they have in the New Testament. And that is to lead the people in holding to God's teaching. The responsibility as the prophets shared the word of God was to the elders to say, what the prophets have said to us, we need to respond to. And the same is true in the church today. Our elders have a responsibility, and sometimes they have to do it in ways that might seem harsh to some people. But our elders have a responsibility to say, look, you need to live according to the word of God. What God has said about who we're supposed to be, you need to live by that. And sometimes they have to call us to repentance. That's a responsibility of good shepherds. Number three, they sought the Lord, the God of Israel, together. When they came together to worship, and in both contexts, in Ezra and Nehemiah, when they came together, they called upon the Lord to be present with them as they worshiped together. They called upon the Lord together. The church called upon the Lord. They prayed together, calling upon the Lord. And when we come together, we need to do a similar thing. Number four, they participated in the rituals designed to make people stronger in faith and in practice. We forget that all the things that God had the people of the Old Testament doing was for a reason. And there are two primary reasons why they did what they did. Whether you're talking about the Passover or the Feast of Booths, or whether you're talking about the sacrifices or the rituals at the temple, all of them had a purpose. And there are two main purposes of it. One is to point us to Jesus. When you go to the New Testament and you start studying who Jesus is and what Jesus did, and you can go back and you can connect it to everything that you find in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, all of those rituals, all of those things that were so important that we just kind of read through just real quickly, you know, so we can say we read it. They all pertain to Jesus. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 talks about the idea that the things written in the Old Testament were written for our learning, that we might grow in our faith and our steadfastness in our connection with Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that. And we need to understand that it also, the second purpose, was to help encourage the people, to encourage one another to live according to God's will. The reason why they did Passover together was to remind each other of what Passover represented when God freed them from Egyptian bondage and apply that to their lives. The reason why they offered the sin offerings was to remind each other that they needed to live as much as they could without sin. And when they did sin, they needed to own that sin and confess it before God and ask for His forgiveness. And all of the things that are involved in that, a reason why God said do it, was so that they might build each other up. They might edify one another to live the way that they need to live. And then number five, they fasted and prayed together and made a covenant commitment with God. The covenant relationship that Israel had with God had been broken. That's the reason why they ended up in captivity, was because they broke that covenant commitment with God. God never broke His covenant. God never broke His promises. But they failed to keep their part in the covenant relationship with God. When they came back together and they had done the things that God commanded for them to do in restoring Jerusalem, restoring the temple practices, rebuilding the wall, and so forth, they came time to worship God. And they said, in our worship to God, we need to renew our covenant with God. We have broken the covenant. We need to confess our sins. We need to repent. We need to change our direction. And we need to renew our commitment to God as a covenant people of God. And so they fasted and they prayed and they recommitted themselves to the covenant. I think all of those things are things that are important for us to keep in mind as we think about how do we edify each other in the church, in our worship. But before we talk too much about what we're going to do in our worship to edify one another, I think it's important for us to remind ourselves what we're not doing in our worship, or what should not be our purpose in our worship. And it's important to go back to this every once in a while, because sometimes we're tempted to emphasize the wrong things in our worship. It's our worldly nature. We think of worship as being what we enjoy and what pleases us. And we need to keep in mind that there are some things about our worship that are not supposed to be our emphasis. Number one, we're not worshiping to be entertained. You know, and I don't want to make light of anybody's worship, ours or anyone else's. But sometimes worship can drift into just another form of entertainment. And while I think it needs to be something that grabs our attention enough that we pay attention to what we're doing, but it does not need to be entertainment. And let's face it, we cannot entertain the way the entertainment world can entertain. Now, I may be wrong in that, but I don't want that competition, okay? I don't think that's what it's about. I don't think my job is to get up here and entertain you on Sunday morning. You know, there's some speakers that do a great job of getting up and telling a joke or telling a story and get your attention and that sort of thing. And there's a place to use a joke or a story to illustrate what God is telling us. But to make the focus of the sermon about a story or a joke is not what it's about. Our singing is not to entertain us. As much as we love singing together, and I enjoyed so much hearing you sing this morning. I love it when we're singing great, and that's great. It should inspire us. It should edify us. It should praise God. It should impress those who come to visit with us about our faith and our conviction and the God we believe in. But it's not about entertaining us. And it's not to perform. You know, when I think about whether we've had a good morning or not, is whether I did a good job or not, I'm sliding on a slippery slope of thinking it's about my performance. That's not what it's about. And it's not for politics. You know, our job here is not to promote any kind of political view, whether we're talking about politics in America or politics in the world or politics in the church. It's not about politics. And we don't care whether we meet what the polls say we're supposed to meet or not. This is about God. He is our purpose. He is our mission. He is our direction. He is what this is about. This, by the authority of God, is to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is about being God's house through the Holy Spirit. We're here for Him, and it's not about those other things. If you have your Bibles with you, look in Acts chapter 2. And I'll mention that recently Darrell Tucker had a really good set of lessons on Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I think you can still go to him and say, hey, could I have your outline on that? And that might be a pretty good outline of what I'm reading here. But I want you to listen to the words here, because when the church first started, I want you to notice what they emphasized, because this is what they did in general. And because this is what they did in general, this is what they brought into their worship. All right. Beginning of verse 42. Remember now, 3,000 people have just been baptized. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, when you look at general, what they were doing, and I'm sorry, it's a little bit small print, but trying to get it all on the same slide. I want you to notice that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship with one another. Now notice, you've got attention to the word and then attention to each other in fellowship, of breaking bread, keeping, I believe, it's talking about the Lord's Supper in that, in prayer, that's for one another and to God. They gave to those who were in need, that's in serving the needs of others. They were praising God, but they also were building a positive relationship with their community because it says they had favor with God and the outside community. And it says, and all this they did with glad and sincere hearts. Now, you could break this down into three basic fundamental purposes. Number one was to to exalt Christ, to lift up Christ Jesus. They preached the message that Jesus, that they had been involved in crucifying, this Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And every time they got together to worship together, they continued to exalt, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. As you read through the book of Acts, you find that coming up over and over and over. It emphasizes the word name. And every time it talks about the name, it's talking about the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They came together in worship to exalt Christ. Number two, they came together to edify the church, to build up the church, to keep the church focused on what the church was supposed to be focused on. They continued in the apostles' teaching. They continued in prayer. They continued in fellowship. They continued to share with one another. Over and over again, you see that because it was part of their daily routine, they brought their daily routine into the worship assembly. They were building up each other, edifying each other, lifting each other up out in the world every day that they came in contact with one another. They were doing that, and they brought that into the worship assembly. That's why it was a part of it. Now, as we talk about edifying each other in our worship assembly, just like what we were talking about on the other principles of worship so far, you bring to the worship what you're doing in the world, and you do it together. Out in the world, we're supposed to be building each other up, encouraging each other, edifying each other, saying, hey, how you doing? How can I help you? How can I help you in your walk with the Lord? We're helping each other to be what we're supposed to be doing all through the week. And so we bring that attitude into our worship on Sunday morning. It is not, folks, you put on your worship face and come to church. You say, oh, man, I better smile and be friendly and encouraging and lifting up and seeing where I can help my brother, you know, because, hey, we're coming into worship. I don't have to do that on Monday through Saturday. I can care less what's happening to my brother and sister in Christ during Monday through Saturday. But, boy, Sunday morning when I come to worship, man, I put on my worship face and I get ready to build up my brother. That is not the way it works. Edifying worship, which God commands for us to do, happens because we're already in that practice during the week. We're concerned about each other, and we want to help each other to live in that faithful walk. And then thirdly, we come together to worship, to evangelize the community. Let me show you a passage, and this will help a little bit with this. There's an outline of what I'm talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, study this on your own, because we can't go through all of this morning, okay? But study this on your own. When you get to chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is about to start dealing with worship problems at the church in Corinth. And part of the reason why he's dealing with worship problems in the church at Corinth, it's kind of a twofold thing. One is because of the struggle that they're having with the sacrificial worship that's taking place to idol gods. You know, they offer meats on sacrifices and so forth. It's sold in the marketplace. And you've got these people who are coming out of idolatry, the worship of these gods, and they're finding themselves struggling with eating meat that has been sacrificed to those gods that's been sold in the marketplace that some people have no problem with eating whatsoever. But some of them are saying, man, I can't do that. Because when you eat the meat that has been offered in sacrifice to the idols, you're participating in worship to that god. I can't do that. And probably some good Jewish brothers who are maybe a little more mature in their viewpoint of there being one God, they say, no, there's only one God. You can't let that bother you, because those idols to those gods, they don't make any difference. They're just stone and wood and metal and things like that. You don't worry about that. They represent gods that aren't even gods. So it's just meat. It's just meat. You can eat it. And the Gentile, you know, believers now, they're saying, man, I struggle with that, because, you know, I've lived my life believing to eat this meat is to actually eat of that God and to participate in worship to that God by eating that meat. I can't consume this and not be participating with that God. So Paul addresses that. He tries to deal with that struggle, and he tries to help them to understand that they need to be understanding to each other in that, because worship needs to be to build up each other. And if you're doing something in your worship to God in such a way that's going to cripple your brother's ability to worship God and be built up by it, you need to not do it. If it hinders him, I mean, be willing to make that kind of sacrifice for the good of your brother. And so he starts this worship section in chapter 10 dealing with that problem. And then he continues it all the way through chapter 14. And he's saying in that when we worship together, we're to build up our brothers. And we're to come together to exalt the Lord. So in chapter 14, he summarizes it after talking about various problems with their worship, which might include the Lord's Supper, includes the way they use tongue speaking, the way they deal with prophecy, about wearing the head covering the women are wearing, and so forth. He deals with those worship issues. But then he summarizes it in chapter 14 in this way. He says there are three purposes. And if you cause your worship to not be able to accomplish these three purposes, then you need to change the way you worship. And one thing he says is, we come to worship to exalt Christ. Don't let things happen in your worship that keep you from exalting Christ Jesus. The things that you're supposed to do in your worship is about Christ. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. That's why we come together to worship, is to praise and give glory and honor to Jesus Christ our Lord. But secondly, we come together to edify each other, to build each other up. So if all of you are speaking in tongues and nobody interprets and nobody understands what in the world you said, how does that edify? How does that build up your brother? Or if you decide, okay, we're gonna let our prophets speak now, and they all speak at the same time. They don't take turns. They're all prophesying at the same time. And you're sitting out there saying, what are they saying? I can't hear them because they're all speaking at the same time. He says, take turns, one at a time, so that the church will be edified. So that's the second purpose. The third purpose, he says, what if somebody comes into your assembly and you're going crazy in the assembly? Everybody's doing everything at the same time. You got people speaking in tongues and nobody interpreting. You got all the prophets speaking at the same time. You got people doing this and that and the other with their spiritual gift. And it's just chaos. And an outsider comes in who doesn't believe, but they're curious. They're going to come in and they're going to worship with you. What's the impression that's going to make on them? They're going to say, this group of people are crazy. They're nuts. I don't want to have anything to do with this. Or if you do it in a way that exalts the name of Jesus Christ and it edifies one another, you get the serendipitous benefit of an outsider coming in and saying, God is present here. They fall down on their knees and they begin to praise the God that you believe in because something about your worship moves them to believe that there must be a God for these people to express their faith the way that they are. It will impress upon them to believe in your God. Do you see that, church? These three purposes are still the purpose of the church today. When we come together, what are we about? Three things. Lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Don't let anyone leave here without knowing who it is we believe in and why. Amen? They need to know we believe in Jesus. And he saved us from our sins. That's why we worship. And number two, we come together because my brother and sister need me. I'm here because we're all struggling in our lives to be what we're supposed to be. We may not struggle with the same thing, but every one of us struggle with sin. And as we leave here, we want to be more equipped, more encouraged, more built up, stronger to be able to go out there and fight that battle with the world that's being led by Satan into sinfulness. And we want to be able to say to them, we love you, we care for you, we have an answer for you. But if we don't build each other up, if we don't keep edifying each other, we won't be strong enough to win that battle. And then thirdly, when we come together to worship, we are concerned about outsiders. We better be. And sometimes worship becomes so much a church thing, so much our church thing, that we forget about the people who aren't our church. What does it say to them? What do they take away from our worship? How would you feel if one Sunday morning we're worshiping, and we actually had somebody, and you know, altar calls don't happen much anymore, but somebody actually came down to the front and said, I came into this building today not believing. I didn't believe in God. But there's something about the faith expressed by this church that makes me want to know more. I want to know the Jesus that you're celebrating. I want to know the love that you show in the way that you deal with each other. How would you feel about that? Would that move you? Would that make a difference in the way you look at your worship? See, I believe in the first century that happened. Or Paul wouldn't have written what he did. He wouldn't have had to have this contingency for what if somebody came in. He didn't write a what if in here. He said, this is happening. You have unbelievers coming into your assembly, and let's send them home believers. Our worship should make a difference into the outsiders who come into our assembly. All right, I don't want to go too long on this. You know what it means to edify? The basic word, the basic Greek word, is a combination of words that includes house in it. The oikos is the house. The dome of the word is building a house. what you do to the house might be a way to remember it. And so what happens to the house? Well, you build up the house. It's used as a construction term, building a house. And it's chosen in the Bible to talk about what we need to do for each other in the church. We need to build each other up. We need to build up the Lord's house. We need to be here because I want to see you stronger. And if I can have any kind of impact on you, I want to help you be stronger. And you need to be here to help me to be stronger. That's why we're here. So you have passages like this, Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, building up, to mutually building up one another. Romans 15, 1 and 2. We strong are to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, the leaders are placed in the church for the building up of the church and preparing the members for good works. And as each of us do our part, verse 16, we build up the body of Christ in love. And then we find in Ephesians chapter 4, the end of the chapter, going into chapter 5, we need to build each other up so that we're stronger to be able to imitate God and imitate Christ Jesus. That's what we're here for. We're here to do that for each other. And here's the passage I just referred to. Notice what it says in verse 16, that we need to be the whole body of Christ, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, growing and building itself up in love as each part does its work. That's why we're here. To encourage, edify, and build up. Notice what this passage says about the way that we're to speak to each other and make each other stronger to resist temptation and not let there be anything like bitterness and rage and anger among us, but that we'll be strong in imitating the example of God and how God forgave us through Jesus Christ. We need to forgive one another. All of these passages are about us building up and edifying one another. Brothers and sisters, it's good to be back together. I miss that period of time where we were struggling with what in the world do we do with this COVID thing? And how do we protect each other and keep each other safe and wear our mask and sanitize our hands? And maybe we need to not meet because we had somebody that had COVID and there was a lot of exposure and so we need to quarantine and all those things. We went through that period of time and we were anxious about doing what we needed to do that was best for each other. And I hope whether you agreed with what our elders chose to do during that period of time or not, I hope you respect the fact that they were wanting to do what was best for you. But in that same spirit, brothers and sisters, as we're going back to trying to be normal, let's go back better. Let's emphasize doing what's best for each other. That it's not about what I want. It's not about having the singing the way you want it. It's not about the preaching being the way that you want it. Ask the questions that need to be asked. What's best? What's good for my brother and sister? What's good for edifying the name of Jesus Christ and building it up so that we might exalt his name and we might edify each other and we might evangelize those who would come among us? Let's think about how we might make our worship even better in helping those who might visit us to be an eventual event that's going to happen every Sunday morning. That it's not a question about whether we will someday have visitors who come and we better be prepared for them. Let's deal with the reality that if we're ready to do God's will in this, God will send people our way. that there will be curious people who want to know what we're about. What are you doing? There'll be people over on campus who wonder, well, what's that church about? I know they serve meals on Tuesday, and they have a worship service during the week over at the campus center there, but what were they like? And maybe a student comes in who doesn't believe, and they are so impressed with the fact that we lift up the name of Jesus and we edify one another, we build each other up, that they say, I want to know about that. I came in here an unbeliever, but your worship has inspired me to want to know more about the God you believe in. That's what we need to be about. And that means in everything that we do in our worship, everything that we do, it needs to exalt Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It needs to edify each other. It needs to build each other up. We need to be. It is not a choice that we have. It is a command of God that when we gather together, we should be edifying one another. And thirdly, it needs to be done in such a way that someone coming from the outside says, wow, I need to think about this. God is in this place. I don't understand it all yet, but God's here, and I want to know more about Him. Next week when we come back, we're going to talk about the different things that we do in our worship and how we might make them do what I'm talking about doing. But this morning, before we get into that, before we start talking about individual items of our worship and how we might do it better, I want you to think about this. Do you buy in to those three purposes? Can you commit to coming to worship on the basis of those three purposes? I'm saying, church, that every day of the week we're out in the world to do those three things. Lift up the name of Jesus, edify one another, and to evangelize those who don't believe. And if you're doing it every day of the week, you come together collectively to do it together when we're in worship together. Are you able to commit to that? If you can't commit to that, before you criticize our worship, you need to get that right in your own heart. If you can't buy into that, the biblical reasons for our worship, what right do you have to criticize our worship? The beginning place of making our worship better is with you. It's with me. It's me examining my heart and saying, if God's word said there are three reasons I get together to worship with my brothers and sisters, is three things that I bring into the worship with me because I've already been doing it. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to go back better, let's do this. Let's commit to this. Let's make it our commitment. We're going to live with those three purposes, and we're going to bring those three purposes into our worship assembly when we worship. May God bless us in that commitment together to be better. Let's don't just be normal. Let's be better than normal. And may God be praised because of it. Let's stand and sing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
You can go ahead and be seated, please.
Thank you, David. That's a great lesson. May we all examine our own hearts and see if we're living as we should. Thank you for being here this morning. We're grateful to see our visitors. I invite you back, and if you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you here with us. I'd like to close this morning with Psalm 121, and I'd like to pray this psalm, so would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. We ask this through Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Have a blessed week.